So should we all have
headphones? That's a good idea.
We got three of them.
We got three of them.
You guys are going to have to share.
We'll just put our heads together. And you could just put this on. I'm cool. Just let me know if y'all can hear me.
Can you hear me? I don't know how much of it is, like, the microphone and...
Oh, versus me?
Yeah, hang on. Talk.
I'm talking.
Yeah, that's... I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yeah, we're good.
Good. I don't think this one's on.
I don't think this one's on. Are they plugged in?
I don't think they are.
Oh, hey.
Oh, can you not? Are there not enough jacks?
Oh, there's only two.
All right. Oh, well.
Cool.
So you guys can, like, monitor the... Yeah. Like, make sure everyone can be heard and shit.
Okay.
Well, I heard there was a wonder boy that many teams would not employ, but you don't really care for Euros, do ya?
Live from The Rock! Welcome to the Brown Sports Convos podcast. My name is Samuel Ree. I'm going to go around, and you guys just introduce yourselves. So we got David over here.
Hi, I'm David Cody. I'm very happy.
Hi, I'm TJ Kim, and I'm happy to be here.
Hey, I'm Ethan. Happy to be here as well.
So, for our first episode, we are going to start off with a little segment that we want to call The Riff. So, each of us are going to get about 30 seconds to introduce a topic that we want to talk about. And after we're done with that, we're going to go around and discuss which one we want to talk about first. And we're just going to go through all the topics and elaborate on them. So, 30 seconds on the clock. I'm going to go first. So, the NBA is a little bit wild this year. I don't know if you've seen the Western Conference standings, but it's pretty crazy. The lowest team in the West is obviously the Phoenix Suns with only 4 wins this year, but the difference between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets is about a 7-game difference. So, anybody can make the playoffs, anyone can do it, but out of the West arises a savior, and his name is Luka Doncic, baby! Oh my god, I'm so excited about this guy. I want to talk about him, and I want to talk about the West. David.
All right. That sounds great. I want to talk about the AAF, the Alliance of American Football. Was it Charlie Ebersole who decided when Vince McMahon announced the return of the XFL, he would beat him to the punch and announce his own springtime football league that would launch a year earlier? They recently just had their quarterback draft, and I want to talk about how possible it is that this league could make a serious run at sustainability.
I want to talk about the AFC and more particularly the AFC North. It's been a while since it was competitive, and it's been interesting with one of my favorite players in the league right now, Lamar Jackson, potentially bringing the Ravens back to where they were a couple years ago, and also just maybe having the Steelers not have an easy path to division title again. So that's interesting to me.
And I'd like to talk about the AFC too, particularly the AFC West. It seemed like the Chiefs were the team to beat, but now they lost a key player in Kareem Hunt. And the Chargers have been so good too, so that seems wide open.
What are we excited about? What do we want to talk about?
Well, I know what I'm excited about. I'd like to know what you guys are thinking in terms of football. So it sounds like the West and the North of the AFC are pretty exciting right now.
We can talk some AFC. Yeah. So I think I'm very interested to see how much of an impact the loss of Kareem Hunt is going to have on the Chiefs. I think this will be a good indication of whether Kareem Hunt, his productivity was sort of a result of this super dynamic offense that he benefited from it, or if he was sort of a catalyst for this offense being that dynamic.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking the same things. I mean, Kareem Hunt was like a great back last year too, and that would make you think that with Patrick Mahomes being what he is, he might be a product of Hunt's production more than Hunt was of his, but you still have to be optimistic about the guy. I mean, he lit up all these like rookie records within the NFL, so, but he's also a rookie, so as good as he looks,
Mahomes?
Yeah, Mahomes.
He's his first year starting. He's not quite a rookie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. The first year starting, I should say. Yeah,
but what he's doing is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if this was the NBA, he'd still be a rookie. Simmons rule. I think that last year they had Alex Smith as their quarterback, and Kareem Hunt really, you know, injected something into their offense. You know, kicked the year off with a huge game against the Patriots.
I remember.
And I think it really just really took the fire from there and used it throughout the rest of the season before another classic Andy Reid playoff loss. But I think this year Mahomes has really been the man in Kansas City, and I think he can take them as far as they want to go. They still have this great receiving core. Their backups like Spencer Ware and I don't know, is Tarkandrick West still on their team? If he is. I had him in fantasy for a little bit. I think it was last year. So I think they are perfectly serviceable, and I think the Chiefs will still be a very good team. I just think that the Chargers, it's not that the Chargers now have an opportunity to take the West. I think they've always been there. It's just people don't recognize them as a legitimate team because they're the Chargers, and they've just had a history of not being good.
Sure, sure. What do you guys think the playoff picture might shape up to look like? Because I think basically it's locked up. The division leaders are going to win their division. The Steelers, the Patriots, the Chiefs, and what other division is there? The Texans.
Texans, yeah.
So those are in all likelihood going to be the division winners. And then the Chargers pretty much have that other wild card spot locked up. So there's one open wild card spot the way it sits right now. I personally like the Colts to get there. I think Andrew Luck's actually having a very, very good bounce back season, and they have a lot of momentum going with them.
The team I would most like to see in the playoffs is the Titans, just because they're so weird. I've found them to be so delightfully, like, strange for years now, but this year epitomizes it. They just come out and beat the Patriots, and just lay an egg against some really bad teams. I would rather, like, take the risk of being disappointed with them in the playoffs than, like, some mediocre team get into the playoffs, because they're just delightfully weird. I don't know what else to say.
A real wild card.
I think that all the division leaders and the Chargers, I think, are realistically, I don't think any other team has a chance of going deep in the playoffs besides them. But just for the sake of interesting games, I think that the Ravens, especially if Lamar Jackson plays, you know, he could really change that offense, and he's really given them some energy. And I think that every year, the Steelers somehow find a way to make the playoff race interesting between them and the Ravens, even when maybe they really shouldn't. But I think this year, they really have a chance to challenge the Steelers for the top of the AFC North, if not the wild card. Besides that, I can't think of any other team that's really as dynamic and also had a realistic shot. You know, maybe the Broncos, but not really.
No, can't see it.
And then not this year, but maybe next year. You know, we always want to see the Browns do well. And
yes.
When Baker won his first game with the Jets, we thought it might be possible this year. Maybe not anymore, but
I don't know. Wasn't there? I don't know if it's still true. There was a possibility the Browns would get into the. No, that was
they lost
that was
after their last game.
Yeah.
Wow. We'll have to wait another year for the Greg Schiano or what? Who's their coach right now?
Oh, is Greg Williams?
Greg Williams, is the interim. Yeah, Greg Williams. See if that experiment works out.
See if that works out. Yeah. It's well, it can't be hard to work out much worse than the Hugh Jackson.
Exactly.
So I'm actually looking at the AFC standings right now, and in the AFC North, we got the Steelers at the top with 7 wins, 4 losses, 1 tie, but they're on a 2-game losing streak. The Ravens are right behind them with 7 wins and 5 losses, and they're on a 3-game winning streak. The Ravens have the 3rd-best point differential in the AFC with a net point rating of 83 compared to the Chiefs 117 and the Chargers 91. So looking at this, I think realistically, like, the only movement that you would end up seeing in the standings would probably be in the AFC North.
Right. I think the Ravens have had a somewhat easy stretch over these past couple games. I don't remember exactly who, but I remember it was.
Well, they're coming up against the Chiefs right now.
Right. So not so easy anymore.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see how Lamar manages to do against a good team where you have to put up points to pace them.
Okay.
All right.
I hate to be the homer here, but Titans' schedule ends with Giants, Redskins, Colts. Seems reasonable, at least.
Mm. That Colts game is going to be big, actually, in that wild card race.
Yeah, although the one question we also have to ask is the Texans for real, because if you looked at their schedule, they haven't had a really difficult game since their last loss, which I think was against the Saints? Patriots?
I know New England beat them.
Yeah, New England beat them, but and they had a couple hard games. They played the Saints, and they played the Patriots, and I think they played someone else early in the year, but since then they've had... You know, their division's kind of weak, and their other game, they've not been super strong either. So, come playoff time, we have to find out who they really are.
Yeah, I see them as a team who will put up a good regular season, but once they get into playing these experienced playoff teams, they're not gonna go very far.
I mean, last year they had some great games with Deshaun Watson at the helm against the Patriots, against the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
They lost those games, but Deshaun Watson and the Texans were in it the whole game. And they've stayed relatively healthy this year, which is very rare for the Texans.
True.
So. Yeah, looking at their, assuming they don't get the top two seeds in the AFC, I wouldn't favor them over the Ravens or the Chargers.
Yeah, no, I don't. Not against the Chargers for sure. Or, yeah, I don't think
you even the Ravens. Yeah.
Let's talk some basketball now.
Yeah, let's go to the NBA. Let's
move on. So, the NBA, the Western Conference, is looking very, very strange. We got some interesting teams up there.
Definitely. So, I mentioned it at the top, but the difference between the Golden State Warriors, who are 18-9, and the Houston Rockets, who are 11-14, the Rockets are 6 games back from the Warriors, and they are the 14th seed in the West right now. The West is so crunched together. You saw the Clippers, you saw the Grizzlies leading the conferences at different times, and it's almost a little strange that the Warriors are doing as well as they have done, considering the dysfunction surrounding them and the fact that other teams in the West are being really competitive, at least for the regular season. But the real story here, I think, is the Wonder Boy himself, the kid from Slovenia, the EuroLeague MVP, the upcoming Rookie of the Year, Luka Doncic for the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks have won 7 of their last 10 games. They are 13-11 for the season, and they are currently holding the 8th seed in the Western Conference, in a very competitive Western Conference at that.
Yeah, I'm excited about the Mavericks, actually. I was talking to my friend during the free agency when they picked up DeAndre Jordan. He was like, dude, watch out for the Mavericks. And I was like, yeah, right. But this roster can, like, actually compete, I think. Luka Doncic provides them some stability in the backcourt along with Dennis Smith. And Dirk and DeAndre Jordan, I just really love that pairing down low.
We haven't even seen Dirk play yet. Yeah. And... Right. I think, even though he is old as dirt, he is almost as old as the number that he has on his jersey. I think that he does provide a little bit of something to this team if he comes back. And maybe that's the push they need. I've heard some talk about maybe they are looking to make a trade for somebody with some of their expiring contracts, like Wesley Matthews, like these other guys who... They do have some expiring contracts on their roster. They're able to go out there and maybe pick up like a Tim Hardaway Jr. or something like that. Someone who might give them like a little bit, enough of a push to sneak into the playoffs there. TJ and Ethan, tell me what you think about it.
Well, on that note, do you think since the West seems so wide open that we might see some trades with like some Eastern Conference teams that are out of it or like decide to tank and like...
Almost definitely, yeah.
And then with Luka... Even on draft night, I was a bit surprised that he didn't go until number 3 overall, which is still high, but... And now it feels even more insane.
Right.
I'll tell you this. I am mutuals on Twitter with this diehard Atlanta Hawks fan. And for the first few games, the Mavericks and Luka were struggling a little bit there. You know, they had... they were 2-2, so it wasn't, like, terrible, but they lost to the Suns and to Atlanta, so they played DeAndre Ayton, they played Trae Young, and they fell short both times. So, these Hawks fans are looking at this trade. They got Trae Young, a guy who is fearless, attacks the basket as well as shooting threes, and can get super hot, even though he's shooting like 19% on the season. People respect his jumper. They fear his jumper, and they're coming across screens to guard him. So you got Trae Young, and they do have the Mavericks pick, which I think is top five protected. They also got their first-round pick for this upcoming year in that trade. So they're looking at this, and they're like, if the Mavericks are like a lottery team, and we also got Trae Young on top of this, and Luka continues to struggle at shooting a little bit like he did early on in the season, and he still like has some off nights and stuff, then maybe we won this trade. The Hawks fans are looking at that trade, and they don't see Luka being this dominant guy with like superstar MVP potential upside, something like that, because of his lack of athleticism, because he's not that great of a defender himself. And they came away feeling pretty happy about it at the beginning of the season, you know.
Yeah, that draft night trade sort of baffled me. I thought I didn't understand why you would pass up on a guy like Luka. I'm surprised Luka fell to 3, actually, and didn't go number 2. Like, this is a 6'8" point euro point forward who can shoot and pass and do everything. That seems just like such a can't-miss prospect to me.
Do you think it's still a bit of the Euro bias?
Definitely. If you were paying attention to NBA social around the time of draft night, there were so many people saying that Luka was overrated, that he was going to be too slow, not have enough stamina to compete in the league. A lot of these stereotypes that you do end up seeing with like with some Euro prospects. We saw it with Porzingis when he went to the Knicks a couple of years ago. He went 4th in that draft, and people went nuts. It was ridiculous how upset they were about that. I think there's definitely still that sentiment left in the league.
And weren't people demanding Okafor? Was that the draft?
I think Okafor went 3rd in that draft. Yeah. I don't recall exactly, but he wasn't available.
That's a take that has not aged well.
Well, I think that this year's draft is going to be super important. Any picks anyone has in this year's draft, especially the first round, will be extremely valuable, because Duke alone has these three incredible players who can change your franchise.
Plus a couple of freshmen who are still going to end up going in the lottery, I think.
Exactly, and I think that any team that has some good picks this year, not even necessarily players from Duke, there's other players in the league, in the NCAA, who are also extremely good and can help out a team. I think that's something to look at this year as well.
There are some
beyond
really
just individual players, especially for a team like the Mavs or the Kings, who's still looking to the future and not trying to win right now.
There are some really interesting prospects in this year's draft. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you could end up seeing a guy like Bol Bol end up being like a mid first round or something like that. Mm. And that would be nuts with his like physical attributes, at least, because he does resemble his father a lot. And he's got a little bit of a jumper. And I don't know. There are a lot of interesting prospects. I don't know how many I would say are going to be like these star level talents,
right,
or like a guy who's going to make an all-star team. You can look at the Duke team and say like, oh, Zion Williamson, that's an obvious pick, top 3, top 5, easy.
Right.
RJ Barrett, you know, he's a wing who can shoot and play make and things like that, run the pick and roll really well. All of that. I think you see more unique play styles than anything like, you know, this guy is so individually talented all around. There's like a few guys like that, and there's always only a few guys like that in any given draft.
Yeah, I think this is more. So I think this is more interesting to see how they turn out than it is like 2003 loaded.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to this last topic here. Let's talk about the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, which is one of the like coolest, cheesiest names for a league I have ever heard. Yeah, they recently had their quarterback draft. Josh Johnson, the NFL journeyman QB, went number 1 to Atlanta. And then, I don't know if he actually signed, but I know there was an NFL team who brought him in for a workout to sign him. That's a really interesting thing. That brings up a really interesting thing, at least to me, how the AAF would interact with the NFL in terms of players coming and going, because my concern is if players play in the AAF season, they miss out on like that off-season recovery period, like that physical recovery period that players get. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, so NFL teams would be hesitant to sign someone who just went through a whole season.
Yeah, well, I don't think that any really serious NFL player would play in the AAF.
You don't think so?
I think that every time that leagues like the AAF or the USFL or the XFL have come along, it's been players who are really searching for a second chance or looking for a way to break out. And they just kind of need the extra exposure. But I think that if anyone was given the choice of playing in the NFL as a starter on a good team and having that off season versus playing both the spring and the fall, I think most people would play both.
I'm thinking from the perspective of like a fringe roster player who needs that extra chance and plays in the AAF, but then if they do get that exposure, they come and play in the NFL for a team and they didn't get that off-season period, you know what I mean?
Right, but I think that if they truly play well, there'll always be a team in the NFL willing to give them a chance. But I think the real way that the AAF can become relevant is not by stealing current NFL players, but by stealing college players.
And that's kind of what the USFL did, and that's kind of the most successful an experiment with like a competitor league has ever been.
I think the idea of competition between sports leagues within the same sport in general is really interesting. And the fact that we only really see it with football among like these big sports, I wonder what about football lends itself to that. Because with the NBA, the only real competitor it ever had was like the ABA, and they ended up merging. The ABA was almost exclusively created like... they definitely wanted to make money by making a merge deal with the NBA. And if you look at, like, baseball, like, it's all part of the same system. Even the minor leagues, it's all underneath sort of this MLB moniker. You don't really see, like, an ALB or something like that. So what would you guys say it is about football that lends itself to all these, like, pretenders, contenders, people who are trying to, like, get out there and make their own type of league?
I think it's because it's such a big cultural thing, more so than it is a sport in America, at least, because it's gotten so huge and there's such a big market. Especially also because the Super Bowl is such a huge cultural event as well as it is a sports event that other sports don't really have. So when you have that high of enthusiasm, it's really jarring the spring afterwards where there's no football at all. So that seems like a really, really tempting void to fill to take advantage of that surge in interest in the sport and put your own league there for people to watch. I also want to talk about the idea of the AAF as a competitor league, which I don't really see. I think I see their goal as just sort of trying to carve out a niche and exist rather than compete directly with the NFL just to try to sustain themselves. The XFL is a little different. The new XFL I thought was really interesting when they announced it. Vince McMahon seemed to go very directly at all the things people don't like about the NFL. Players have to stand for the anthem. We're working towards player safety. No players with criminal records will play. Like, it's very direct at the NFL, I thought, not very subtle about it.
A very recent news story about the XFL says that you can apply to play and coach in the XFL on LinkedIn.
Wow.
I think that says a lot about the state of the XFL, football. Like, coming up. Ethan, TJ, do you guys have any thoughts about the NFL, the AAF, or, like, the XFL, or just, like, football in general?
Oh, McMahon has always tried to have a confrontational approach, even when the first one happened. It's funny that now he's doing the player safety thing when his original league was about how he was gonna, like, batter people's brains more, and it was gonna be this rough and tough league. But I think the AAF, like, it's one in a series of imitators of the USFL, which is easily the most successful, like, a competitor league has ever been. Right. That strategy of, like, different markets and spring. I'm not sure if that is quite as sustainable right now, in that there's just so much sports, like, around, even during, like, the spring, that Whereas, like, football really had so much more of a monopoly in the 80s that people would just come out. I think the AAF's best path forward is almost like a development league for the mm-hmm. NFL. Because that's not something that really exists right now. And I've heard that as an idea brought up a lot.
Mm-hmm. The G League to the NFL.
Yeah.
Right. I think the idea of a development league or a development system in American sports is something that is desperately needed. Mm. The MLB farm system, I think, works pretty well. But for the NFL, for the NBA, there's not something quite as similar. And so what you end up...
The G League is so dysfunctional right. in the NBA, and they're trying to fix it by like allowing 18-plus prospects to like join. But,
It's sort of like... what you end up having is having these college systems then having to bear the brunt of player development.
Right.
Which makes for fun college football games, but on the other hand, kind of... I think it just kind of ruins part of what college sports are, which is supposed to be... Not just watch, you know, you don't watch them because you're thinking about how good they're going to be when they're pros. Right, you want to watch them because they're good college players. And if they go to the pros, they go to the pros.
Right.
So I think a development league for the NFL where maybe you can go earlier right at high school, or if you didn't make a college football team, you can still go, would be great. As for the XFL, I think the TV contracts for the NFL are expiring, and for the major college football conferences, they're also expiring in 2020. Huh. Which is why, or not maybe not the NFL, but there's TV contract stuff happening.
Right.
Which is why the XFL is going to come in 2020 and try and scoop up some players or scoop up some network time or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're going to have to improve the way they are, just in general, if they're going to compete with the NBA, which is now extremely popular.
Right.
And also other sports like soccer.
Right, because you're not just competing with the NFL, you're competing with the other sports.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
All right. Well, if we have said our piece on that, I think it's time to transition into our outro segment, which we call the 2-cent finish. So we're going to go around and just give a little bit of a speech, a rant, a complaint, or just... a soliloquy about something that's on our minds, a take that has been burning within us for this past week. So we'll go around. I think I want to go last with this because I got some good material.
I'm excited.
But yeah, let's see what you guys got.
All right, I'll go first. I have a message for the Washington Wizards. It's over. You fucked it up. Or you screwed everything up. Like, you had your chance to build a championship team. And you lost it. You know, Bradley Beal and John Wall will not play well together. You need to trade them and then tank. There's nothing else you can do at this point. I'm sorry. Just, it's over. Accept it. It's done.
Okay, I guess I'm next. I am the sole New York sports fan in this environment of Bostoners here. So I just wanted to get this out, which is that... Okay, first let me tell you a story. Let me take you back to the 2016 NFL draft. Cody Whitehair is one of the top center offensive line prospects in the draft. And... Jets have a second-round pick. They decide to pass on him. And you know who they did take? Christian Hackenberg, who is... You know where he is now? The AAF.
That's an all-time bust name.
He might not even be a starter in the AAF. Mm. So what I'm trying to get across is that Mike Maccagnan, the Jets GM, has outlived his usefulness. If he ever had it. He has proven himself to not be up for the... the challenge of building a football team. I think Darnold might be good, thanks for that, but, like, we don't want to ruin him by you making the same moves you made for the last few years, which is refusing to build up our offensive line, which was a problem that you could see coming for years, and just whiffing on draft picks in general. I think we shouldn't feel that just because he didn't ruin our cap space or anything, that we should feel... strapped to a guy who is bad with personnel. I think we need to know that it's good that he didn't ruin our team as much as he could have, so now let's move on before he can anymore.
All right. All right. I want to talk about recently my favorite football coach, at least college football coach, Paul Johnson, just announced that he's going to retire after this season. Paul Johnson, for those of you who don't know, is the coach of Georgia Tech, or was the coach of Georgia Tech, and was famous for running his flexbone triple option offense. Yesterday, Army and Navy played, both teams coached by coordinators who used to call plays for Paul Johnson on offense, so both sides running that option. And it was just one of the most beautiful things to watch, just two teams running that rock for 60 minutes. I am going to miss Paul Johnson existing in college football, and I really hope teams continue to play option ball, because it's so great that it exists as a change of pace from the spread sort of air it out offense that we see. I think there always needs to be a Georgia Tech in college football. So I really hope teams see the option as a potential path to success.
Okay, and that leaves me. So, I was talking about Luka Doncic a little bit earlier in the podcast, but I want to elaborate just a little bit about just how exciting this man is. The Dallas Mavericks, in their past 10 games, as I mentioned, won 7 of them. Guess who they beat twice in that span? The Houston Rockets, who came one game away from going to the NBA Finals and probably beating the Cleveland Cavaliers last season. They beat the Houston Rockets twice. And not only did they beat them twice, last night they played the Houston Rockets in American Airlines Center in Dallas. They were down by 8 with just a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. Luka Doncic, the man, the myth, the legend himself, scores 11 points straight to the Rockets 0 to win the game 107-104 all by himself. This is absolutely insane. I don't believe what we're seeing. He ended the night with 21 points, so more than half of his points came in that 3-minute stretch, or whatever, however long it was. But I want to give a quick shout out to the Ringers, Isaac Lee and Jason Gallagher, and their cover, parody, whatever you want to call it, of Hallelujah, called Hallelujah. This is, you know, basically what it sounds. It's a praise song for the greatness that is Luka Doncic, and they played it live at this game last night. Like, just 24, maybe like an half an hour before this craziness happened that was this 8-point comeback with the 11-point stretch. So, in closing, Luka Doncic is great, and I'm so happy that he is in our lives. All right, well, I think that should be it for our first Brown Sports Convos podcast.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you guys for being here with us. Shout out to Vishy in the booth up there. And, I want to give a quick shout out to our Twitter, BRN Sports Convos. That's Brown Sports Convos, BRN Sports Convos on Twitter. Our website is sportsconvos.com. Shout out to David's NFL Weekly Power Rankings.
Heck yes.
It is a great read. It's a lot of fun. Have a great Christmas, have a great time with your finals, happy holidays, and I hope you have a restful time. And with that, I'll give it over to Luka Doncic.
Well, I heard there was a wonder boy that many teams would not employ, but you don't really care for Euros, do ya? So where would he go, the fourth, the fifth, or would he fall and be a Nick? The baffling kings took back.